bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Good morning, or good afternoon, good evening. This is Kevin Cullis. You're tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek, Kevin Cullis. How y'all doing today? We're here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. That's ctkradio.org. So, if you remember from our last show, we talked about an overview of what I'll be talking about. And over the next seven or eight shows, I'm going to go into some more detail of each. So that way, it provides a basis by which you can start your own business. So, before I get into that, I'm going to tell you two pieces of information that's sort of my intro. Today, we're going to talk about the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here's the key point, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. And the word workmanship is there's only twice that that's referred to in the New Testament, once in Romans 1:20 and here in Ephesians 2:10. So we are his workmanship. God created us to do good works. Why? We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Meaning that God created you and me with specific talents, specific skills, with specific experiences, that we're supposed to do good with those skills, no matter what you are. Clarence here, he's a great guy on music and stuff, and he loves it. I have music, but I don't have near the ability he has. So guess what? That's where his talents are, not mine. So that's the beginning scripture for the day, talking about business and scripture. That's the focus of my show. But also, to make it go a little far, I'm going to talk about a joke here. This is my Jewish joke for the day. So Moshe Epstein dragged himself home and barely made it to his chair before he dropped exhausted. His sympathetic wife, Rebecca, was right there with a tall, cool drink and a comforting word. "My, you look tired, Rebecca said. "You must have had a hard day today. What happened to make you so exhausted?" "It was terrible," Moshe said. "We had no computer or internet access the whole day, so all we had to do was our own thinking." Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. The idea is that just because the internet is down doesn't mean you stop thinking, or if you have it, doesn't mean you stop thinking. You still got to use it. You still have to discern what's out there and weigh whether it's good information or not. So, okay. So today's subject is going to be, it's about you. And what I mean about you is who God designed you. And as you remember from the previous show, we basically said that your sets of parents means that your uniqueness is one in 400 trillion. That's how unique you are. So let's go to the Bible and see how that uniqueness plays into the business world. You all know about the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is where Jesus talks about a master who has three slaves. And that master gives each slave a talent. He gives them five talents to the first one, two to the second one, and one to the third one. Now, what does that show? That shows an inequality in opportunity. Not everybody's going to perform the same amount with the same amount. Okay, so the master weighed each individual talent and said, okay, I know this guy can do good, and I know this guy, but they're going to be weighed differently. He gave them different amounts. Okay, so that shows an inequality. The equality was the opportunity to be able to take those talents and apply them. But here's the interesting part about it. The first two actually went out and doubled that income, which is the real interesting part, is that they actually went out, and it says it immediately went out, which means they didn't sit there and, well, let's ponder this talent, what it is, and whether we're going to do something. Oh, by the way, the talent, if you understand the talent, it was of the day, it was currency. And most people say, yeah, Jesus talking about money. Well, you don't understand what the talent was. The talent was the largest currency of the day. It was 75 pounds of precious metals, whether it were silver or gold. Now, if you take gold at $1,300 an ounce, that means that each talent was worth $1.5 million. $1.5 million. So that five talents that he gave that one slave, that means that that person was given $7.8 million. That's not chump change, folks. That's not chump change. So the idea behind it is God thinks big. We need to think big. Start small, but think big. Okay? But the most interesting part about when we talk about it's about you is that last one. The first two actually took their talents and went and applied it. He didn't tell them what area to go into. He didn't tell them, you know, what they were supposed to do with it. He just said, hey, go invest it. But what's interesting is that last slave. Boy, I tell you what, when you look at the original Greek of that, when you look at the commentary of the original Greek, he had a bad attitude. Because he literally said to, the master when he came to the account, he says, okay, what's with your one talent? And he goes, here is your talent, master. It's not mine, but it's yours, and I'm literally giving it back to you. It's your property. I didn't take it, steal it, but I did put it, you know, I buried it. And you stop and think about it. Twice in that passage, the master said, or it says, he's going away for a long time. Now, it doesn't say whether it's probably in terms of trips. It was weeks long or maybe even months long. But if you stop and think about that slave, he literally took and buried the talent. He buried the talent and did what for those weeks or months while the master was gone? Which means he probably sat down on his tuchus and did nothing. Whereas the other two slaves took what they were given and worked it. So when it's about you, when you bury the talent, he says, hey, I'm going to take that talent and give it to somebody else who is willing to work it. So the idea being here is that God has given you talents. It's up to you to take those talents and to use them. It's not God's opportunity. It's you've been given those talents. Clarence has great music ability. He's supposed to take that and use it, whatever he's supposed to do. I take my talents and apply it, and I go look in the market and see what to do. But the key point here is that you've been given it. You have an investment by God in your talents worth millions of dollars. That's the key issue for you. You are worth that much. And I have a pen here. And this pen, and I'm showing to Clarence here. Clarence, does this pen have value just holding it?
I would say yes.
Okay. But when is it most valuable?
When it is being used for its purpose.
Absolutely. So that's where, as an individual, you need to understand is who you are, the talents God has given you. You are worth something as you are right now. But you get more, God gets more value out of you when you apply those talents and skills to other things. Where it's an encouraging word to a brother or a sister, it's giving them some suggestions or uplifting them somehow or educating or edifying somehow. Anytime you're edifying or uplifting somebody, you're adding value. It's being put to use. And guess what? In most cases, you can't do it by yourself. You need to be with somebody else because I need Clarence to help me out and he needs me to help him out. You never do it alone. You have your own talents you do alone, absolutely, but you never do it alone. But so the parable of talent, that one slave had a victim mentality, and that victim mentality basically says, I'm not going to do anything. He was lazy. And if you're reading Proverbs, Jesus or God says always, hey, you need to work what you got. You need to work what you got. All right. So that's and by the way, I've got 35 other points in my new book called Bible Secrets for Startups and Entrepreneurs. That'll be coming out soon. And so watch for my website as well as the Amazon for my name. And you'll see it on there very shortly. Get that out to the editor. But watch for it because I have 35 other points from the parable of talents from a business perspective on what you can do. All right. So now we're going to go on to a book that I read. I actually tell you a story. I actually go back when I was in college. I had a professor who, when I was studying history, that said, oh, you're in the Air Force ROTC, so here's a really interesting tape. I said, okay. And he said, this is about a major in the Army that interviewed a lot of the Korean POWs. And the story goes is that here's some of the facts and figures. The largest group in the Korean War was three people. Of all the 5,000 prisoners, of American prisoners that were over there, the largest group was three. 38% died in captivity, whereas about 250 Turks who were also captured walked out alive. That was the largest death rate of any American POWs in any wars. They had two GIs that literally threw out their comrade out into the minus 30 degree below winter, and he froze to death. And they asked him, why'd you throw him out? He says, well, he was stinking up the place because he had dysentery. A young soldier basically said, hey, and he says, the colonel tells the private, says, don't drink that water because it has human feces in it. If you get it, you drink that water, it's going to cause you to get dysentery and diarrhea and get you sick and you might die from it. And the private turns to the colonel, you're a POW, just like the rest of us. Get lost. So all those things add up, you know, in terms of the death rate that was over in the Korean War. So I heard this tape, and it was like an hour and a half long. And it was fascinating listening to all the issues regarding the Korean War. So what was interesting was when it came to the Korean War, I started, got into the Air Force, got out, got my degree, and there was an interesting book I picked up called How Full Is Your Bucket? And guess what? The very first story is about the Korean POWs and all the deaths and all the problems that occurred that occurred over there. And I'm shocked because I hadn't heard it ever since college. I didn't even hear it when I was in the Air Force. So here's some further information regarding those Korean POWs. The issue primarily was that they had a maximum of six guards guarding hundreds of prisoners. There was no barbed wire. There were no gun emplacements. Everything that you would think of in a POW camp, it was gone. And they basically said, hey, just stay here. Just be here. And so they had to really take a hard look when all the prisoners came back. There were 1,000 that came back. And so they literally said, okay, let's take a look at this. We've never had this happen before. They must have used something. And so they basically said, okay, let's analyze what they were doing and how they were doing it. And I'll tell you more, but I'm going to come back after the break here and tell you the answers and why it relates. It's about you, because how you think of yourself makes a difference in how you progress and be productive in life. So the key point is on the return of the break, I'll go into why and what fours of that. But you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible. And I'm your host, Kevin Cullis, Chief Business Geek, here at Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
This portion of our broadcast day made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. That address again, www.gecs-us.com. Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet
Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Bringing light unto a dark world, Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Back and you're tuned into Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis. All right, on the other side, we're talking about a book called How Full Is Your Bucket? And I talked about the story in there about Korean POWs and how we lost about 38% of the Korean POWs when 250 Turks walked out. Now, here's what the Turks actually did compared to what the Americans did. It was a breakdown in the American military. Basically, the Koreans said, hey, put down your arms. And here's the interesting. Put down your arms. Quit fighting. We're going to provide you free food, free health care, and free shelter if you put down your gun. Now, what does that sound like when you hear it in America today? When they say, we're going to provide you by the government, we're going to provide you free this, free that, okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. The Korean POW, oh, yeah, free healthcare. Oh, by the way, you got this certain disease, we're going to put under your skin, we're going to open up your skin, put under chicken fat, because that'll cure you. Yeah, put chicken fat under the skin, because that's in the skin, and we can't get it in. So that's the healthcare that they gave them. They gave them soup that was, you know, potato soup, no protein in it, which means the brain wasn't working as well. So that was the free healthcare. Free shelter was huts with dirt floors, free stuff. So anyway, this is what's interesting is comparing what Americans did versus the Turkish. The Turks walked up and says, okay, you captured 250 of us. He says, okay, I'm the ranking Turk officer here. Commandant, you're going to talk to me. I've got five of my staff. If you want something done, tell me. I will parcel out to all my staff, and we'll parcel out to the rest of the troops, and we'll get it done. Whatever. In other words, you know, building a latrine or something, you know, whatever needs to be done, we'll do it. But you talk to me, and I, in turn, will tell everybody what needs to be done. Koreans didn't like that. They said, we're going to separate you and get you out of the way. Well, guess what? The Turks were so disciplined. They said, okay, next one. The first one was Lieutenant Colonel, let's say. And the next one was, I'm a major. Commandant, you are going to talk to me, and I'm going to talk to my five staff, and we'll get everything done. Oh, no. We're going to take you away. Lieutenant walks up. I am in charge. You talk to me, and I'll talk to all my staff, and we'll get everything done you need to get done. Oh, we separate you. Got down to sergeants. I am first sergeant, first class. Ah, we'll separate you. Got down to privates. I'm private. We'll separate you. And of course, all that down to privates. How many months did you have in? Well, I got 5 months. And how many? I got 6 months. Okay, you're in charge now. I'm private so-and-so. You talk to me. I'll talk to my staff. Oh, no, I'll separate you. Ended up half of them over here, half of them left. Says, we can't do this. We got too many people separated. We'll put them all back and leave them alone. We'll put them all back and leave them alone. Why? Because they were disciplined on doing what was right and following the protocols of an organizational chart. Who's in charge? You can't have two or more people in charge. You got one person in charge and the rest follow what that was in charge. So literally the Turks walked out after the conflict ended. We had 38% of our American troops that had died there because they broke everything down. They basically listened to what the North Koreans were telling them and basically said, you're no good. The biggest thing was, you're no good. They brought in fear and distrust, and they divided and conquered everybody. But the key issue was, you're worthless. They brought in, if an American troop got a positive letter, they withheld it. If it was a negative letter, like a Dear John, they gave it to them. They gave it to them. They gave so much negative to the point that the troops were saying, I'm worthless. Where's the hope? Why am I not being it? There's no hope for me to live. And so all of the results of that, what you found is that the American military said, we're going to come up with a code of conduct. The code of conduct says, I'm an American fighting man, yada, yada, all the way down saying, I will resist. And they learned even in Vietnam that they realized that even if you succumbed to torture and having to give information, they learned and said, you can't hold to a high standard because guess what? Sometimes torture is just too much. You have to succumb to it and relieve some of the pressure so you give information. If that stops the torture, then okay. But the issue is to get yourself back up. They all talk about amongst themselves, okay, let's build them back up. Okay, you gave it away. Don't feel bad. Feel bad for a moment, but the issue is to get back up so that you can start resisting again. And my friend Jimmy, who's Jimmy Graham, former Navy SEAL, we sat there and did a training down in Colorado Springs area. And part of the training was that showing guys walking around in a circle. And if somebody attacks them, the person falls down. Well, the Navy SEALs, and I'll tell you the story first. That's easier. There's in Africa, there was an NGO worker that literally was captured by Somali pirates. And they were watching the traffic. And she was there for months. And so literally, in the months that she was there, they realized, okay, her health is going down based on the traffic that was going on. So somebody made the decision to send in Navy SEAL Team 6. And she said she was in the house and heard commotions and gunfire and stuff and covered herself to make sure she was protected. And in walks these guys as SEAL Team, ma'am, we're here to rescue you. They took her out, got her to the rendezvous point, set her down, and encircled her with Navy SEALs pointing guns outwards to protect her. Encircled her with guns pointing out, protecting, because they were going to take a bullet for her to rescue her. Now, see, that's the picture that Jimmy gave us. He said, when we've got a friend that is in need, you don't sit there and jump and beat them down because they're down. You encircle them to protect them from things that are going on the outside so they can build themselves back up and get back up and start performing. No different than the Korean POWs. They started destroying each other rather than holding together and being a team and being cohesive. So it's about you, meaning it's about you, but it's also about the person that's next to you, to your left and to your right, the front and the back. It's about being there for that person, even if it's an encouraging word. It's not a beat down. It's not a, I'm going to tell you all the negatives that you've done. We're all human, okay? We're all human. So the key point here is that build people up, protect people, make sure that you are providing them with an encouraging word so they can keep going on. Because there's nothing worse than having your own people beat you up when you're trying to fight the enemy. No good having to fight not only the enemy, but your own friends and family. Been there, done that myself. Having to fight family when I'm trying to fight outside. And that's also husbands and wives. Husbands, don't go picking on your wife, and wives, don't picking on your husband. You know, find out where your strengths are in each in the family and relationships and contribute and be together as a team. You are a team. God made you a team. But when it's about you, it's about finding out who you are, finding out your worth, what you are worthy. Nobody, and I can guarantee this, nobody is worthless. Not one person in this world is worthless. Why? Because God loved you enough to create you. He loved you enough to create who you are with what you are. Now the issue is when you understand you're the value of you, i.e. that pen, that's the value. There is value in that pen. There's a value in every person. The issue is that value is there. The question is, how do we apply that talent to what we're doing in the marketplace? How do we apply it so that we add value to our work, our business, our family, our friends? That's the key issue for us. It's about you, but it's how do you add value to other people? So when we talk about the book, How Full Is Your Bucket? The issue is for them is to understand it's and about encouraging words to others. It's finding out what somebody has done for you that's been thankful for. I don't know how many people, especially when I'm talking about businesses, that I sit there and I give them some good advice. And you know what they do? They walk away. They literally walk away after I've given them good advice. Most of them, probably about two-thirds of them, don't say thank you. And about of that 60% or so, about 30% of that say thank you. 10% actually do something that is encouraging to me. And I'll give you an example. My friend Rex Weishart, he runs a company called Yellow Schmello. And he had given me a lot of encouragement. He's well-to-do and had encouraged me at my lowest point. And so I gave him a copy of my first book called How to Start a Business Mac Version because he's a Mac guy. So I gave him a copy of my book. Guess what? Unbeknownst to me, he literally wrote a testimonial about my book. I didn't ask him to it, but he recognizes two things about giving that testimonial. One, it was encouraging to me. That feedback was encouraging. I had done something good for him, and he was happy with it. So not only, I mean, even though I gave it to him, he gave me encouragement by giving me a testimonial. But more importantly, and this is what also helped him, he put his name, and more importantly, he put his business with the testimony, his business name with the testimonial. So that means that not only did he give me encouragement, but he also showed the relationship between Rex and I. Kevin did such a great job with his book. He says it's loaded with gold, as he said, loaded with gold nuggets. And he says, I've learned lots of ideas from it. But not only did it encourage me because it uplifted me, but also said, thank you for what you've done and for the work you've done. But it also helped him because now he shows the relationship that's between you and me, between Rex and myself, that we're helping each other in our business. He has his area of expertise. I have mine. So that's when it's about you, it is about you. It's understanding your worth, your talents, and who you are, but it's also the worth in other people. How are the worth of the other people? What is the value of other people that you are in contact with on a daily basis? It's not only your husband and your wife, it's your kids, it's your pastor. When was the last time you encouraged your pastor? When was the last time you encouraged that hairdresser and said, thank you for such a good job on doing my hair? When was the last time you gave an encouraging word to that coffee barista who gave you that coffee? And all you did was said, thank you. Have you ever tried to do something else for them that goes out of their way to help you? When it's about you, it's also about them too. It's about cooperation and community between you and your other people. So we're going to go here to a break, and we're going to come back, and then I'll talk about your drive, your motivation. So you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis. And we're here at Christ the King World Radio, and you will find us at worldmediaministries.org. That's worldmediaministries.org. Go check us out on the website, and we'll be right back.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world,
please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services. In the Denver metro area, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, here at Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. Topic today is, it's about you, and originally we talked about Ephesians 2:8 through 10, specifically verse 10, and said that we are His workmanship. Workmanship meaning God created us for a specific reason, and that is we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. In other words, we were created a purpose, our talents, our skills, all our experiences, we're supposed to take those and apply them to do good for God and for glory of God. Now, understand, in 1 Corinthians 13, 3:11 through 15 talks about gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. The difference is between that is that the gold, silver, precious stones are things that you do that glorify God. The wood, hay, and stubble is the things that glorify yourself. So when you do good works that glorify God, then you get the rewards of wood, hay, gold, silver, and precious stone. When you do it for yourself, you get wood, hay, and stubble. And in the end, when we stand before God and He gives an account of our life, He's going to sit there and say, you had the opportunity to do this amount of good, but because you had wood, hay, and stubble, and this is the gold, silver, and precious stone, you've lost that opportunity, but you've got this. So let's say, as an example, you've got 100 works that you've done in your life. 30 of them are wood, hay, and stubble. 70 of them are gold, silver, precious stone. Jesus is going to say, you know what? You could have had 100 works, but you only did 70 that glorified me. You've lost all those works. You haven't lost the rewards of the gold, silver, precious stone. You've lost the wood, hay, and stubble. But what He's going to show you, you had the opportunity to do 100, but you only did 70. So that's when it's about you, it's about your purpose here on life and doing good. And the doing good is the gold, silver, and precious stones, not the wood, hay, and stubble. That's the motivation. So when God says, I designed you, He means I gave you talents and you're supposed to use those talents to glorify me. And Clarence and me and all the team here at World Media Ministries, our job is to glorify God in what we say and what we do. We're not perfect by any means. We're still sinners. We don't sin as much as we did years ago, but we don't sin as much. But we still focus on doing good. And doing good is encouraging you, edifying you, and improving your life so that you can go perform good works, so that you get the gold, silver, precious stones. When we encourage you, then we get the gold and silver and precious stones. And then when you go encourage, you get gold, silver, and precious stones. So what we're going to talk about is now is called Drive. And there's an excellent book that I've read that's on the New York Times bestseller by Daniel H. Pink called Drive. And in there, it talks about a science experiment with monkeys. And the experiment was that it was just three steps. You had a pin that you took out, you moved the latch, and it opened up a flap. And they just put it in there with the monkeys. Now, in business world, you always hear, well, I'm going to give you more income, or I'm going to take away your income based on what you're doing, right? That's the business world. But here's monkeys, and they just put them in this cage with these experiments, and they weren't getting paid anything. The monkeys went and figured it out themselves with no rewards whatsoever. No raisins, no grapes, no nothing. They were just given these things to play with. And the monkeys figured it out. And so the scientists said, wait a minute, that's a motivational thing. We didn't tell them. We didn't encourage them. Why? It was an intrinsic, i.e. a part of who they were. They just wanted to go figure it out. Well, that's what God has, that motivation is what God has put in you and me. He has put that in you and me, that desire, and the key point is that curiosity to go figure out the problem. And you may not figure out one. Do you think those monkeys actually figured out the first time? No. They kept at it and kept out until they figured it out. And guess what? As a troop, it wasn't just one that figured it out. All of them figured it out. And everybody shared that solution with it. So guess what? Every monkey went and figured it out. So that motivate, it was an internal motivation. God has put that internal motivation with you and me. You have been given talents that are intrinsic in you that few people with the combination that you have will do the same thing. You have talents, whether it's being in the medical field. It could be, and I saw this years ago, a TV program. This kid loved street cleaners, street sweepers. He had little street cleaner machines, you know, the matchbox things. He had them all lined up because he loved them. That's all he ever wanted to do in his life. But you know what? That's an important aspect of him, and that's what he does for a living. He drives a street sweeper, and he loves it. But it's that point is we don't poo-poo that. If that's all he loves to do, but be the best at that, whatever that is. There's a if you go on TED.com, I love watching TED.com. Clarence, have you ever seen TED.com by any chance?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. For the most part, they got a lot of, 20-minute little speeches about things. But what's interesting about the drive is, when you talk about your drive and it's about you, is there's a guy, and I'm forgetting his name, but if you go Google at TED.com, Barefoot College, you'll see the story about this guy that literally left a high-level Indian caste system where he was probably going to be the next ambassador to the United States or something. You know, he was that good at the best colleges. He was on his way up to being somewhere heavy in Indian society. And he got tired and he got bored and he says, I'm not going to do this. So he went out into the rural area out in India. And of course, when you're in the rural area, the poor, they sort of look at you with suspicion. And they say, okay, why are you coming out here? Are you failing in your classes? No, I'm getting good grades. Police are coming after you. You did something wrong. No. He said, I just came out here to see what I can do and what I can learn and maybe help you out. Well, come to find out, and this is one example of it, these rural women had come up with a formula using urine and plants and everything else. All this, their formula was a way of waterproofing the house ceilings and the roofs. And of course, all the men wanted the formula, and the women, I'm not going to give you up my formula. And the women started a business based on waterproofing the roof of the mud huts. Now, do Do you need a college degree to figure that out? No. Now, a college degree would help in terms of analyzing the materials and what happened and how did it got there, but it didn't stop them from coming up with a way to do that. You don't need a college. You don't need the college education. You need the curiosity to go figure it out yourself. That's the point that God has given you. He's given your talents, and those talents create a curiosity on how to do something. And you're supposed to take that curiosity and go out and do it, just like the monkeys. There was no payment whatsoever for them going out and figuring out those tests and those experiments. They just did it because it was interesting to them. Now, here's the part about that. When you go out and learn something, you've increased the value of who you are. When you increase the value of who you are, guess what you've done to the marketplace? You've increased the value of what you offer to the market. If you increase the value to the market, what does that mean? You make more money. When you make more money as a Christian, that means you can give more. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to be poor. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to be rich. What it does say is take all your talents and maximize them all. Work them all so that you can provide good value and good jobs and good value to your customers or your business, whatever that is. So when it comes to drive, you've already been given that drive. You've already had that internal drive given to you by God. Understandably, those talents have been buried by others. Either you've had it buried, regret, remorse, rejection. But guess what? Because you have that drive doesn't mean you still can't do it. There are other things. I have a number of friends that had to take detours around what they love to do because of economics, because of other things. They basically had to take detours. They never lost sight of what they love to do. I even had to do, with my master's degree, I had to do a janitor job. I had three jobs at one time. Had to be a janitor with a master's degree. How do you think that made me feel? My approach was, I'm going to learn. And guess what? Here's the funny part. I lost weight earning money. I didn't pay any of the fitness places, any gym to go lose weight. I earned money losing weight. Now, it wasn't necessarily working with the weights, but slopping that bucket around and mopping floors and stuff, I lost weight doing that. But I also walked away with, I'm going to learn from this. It's not what I love to do, but I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to learn from what are they doing, how are they doing it, and it's not something I want to do, but I'm going to learn something from it. I learn what I don't want to do. I also learn what other people do. And if I have a building and I have to hire a janitor, guess what? I know what it takes to do that. I know how hard they can work. I mean, we literally had to scrub the tile floor of the school, scrub it, take off the wax, put the wax back on. I know what it takes to do that. So I have a lot more respect when I look at a janitor who has to do that or a cleaning crew that has to do that. I have a lot more respect for those that do that. So when it comes to you, and it's about you, and it's your drive, it's what is inside you and how do you apply that. Everybody has that built-in drive. It's just about who you are, the value you are, as well as how do we apply it in the marketplace. You're tuned into Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis. I'm here at the Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us at worldmediaministries.org, and we'll be right back.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet
Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services. In the Denver metro area, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Okay, we're back, and you're tuned in to Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, here at Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. Topic today is, it's about you, and originally we talked about Ephesians 2:8 through 10, specifically verse 10, and said that we are His workmanship. Workmanship meaning God created us for a specific reason, and that is we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. In other words, we were created a purpose, our talents, our skills, all our experiences, we're supposed to take those and apply them to do good for God and for glory of God. Now, understand, in 1 Corinthians 13, 3:11 through 15 talks about gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. The difference is between that is that the gold, silver, precious stones are things that you do that glorify God. The wood, hay, and stubble is the things that glorify yourself. So when you do good works that glorify God, then you get the rewards of wood, hay, gold, silver, and precious stone. When you do it for yourself, you get wood, hay, and stubble. And in the end, when we stand before God and He gives an account of our life, He's going to sit there and say, you had the opportunity to do this amount of good, but because you had wood, hay, and stubble, and this is the gold, silver, and precious stone, you've lost that opportunity, but you've got this. So let's say, as an example, you've got 100 works that you've done in your life. 30 of them are wood, hay, and stubble. 70 of them are gold, silver, precious stone. Jesus is going to say, you know what? You could have had 100 works, but you only did 70 that glorified me. You've lost all those works. You haven't lost the rewards of the gold, silver, precious stone. You've lost the wood, hay, and stubble. But what He's going to show you, you had the opportunity to do 100, but you only did 70. So that's when it's about you, it's about your purpose here on life and doing good. And the doing good is the gold, silver, and precious stones, not the wood, hay, and stubble. That's the motivation. So when God says, I designed you, He means I gave you talents and you're supposed to use those talents to glorify me. And Clarence and me and all the team here at World Media Ministries, our job is to glorify God in what we say and what we do. We're not perfect by any means. We're still sinners. We don't sin as much as we did years ago, but we don't sin as much. But we still focus on doing good. And doing good is encouraging you, edifying you, and improving your life so that you can go perform good works, so that you get the gold, silver, precious stones. When we encourage you, then we get the gold and silver and precious stones. And then when you go encourage, you get gold, silver, and precious stones. So what we're going to do talk about is now is called Drive. And there's an excellent book that I've read that's on the New York Times bestseller by Daniel H. Pink called Drive. And in there, it talks about a science experiment with monkeys. And the experiment was that it was just three steps. You had a pin that you took out, you moved the latch, and it opened up a flap. And they just put it in there with the monkeys. Now, in business world, you always hear, well, I'm going to give you more income, or I'm going to take away your income based on what you're doing, right? That's the business world. But here's monkeys, and they just put them in this cage with these experiments, and they weren't getting paid anything. The monkeys went and figured it out themselves with no rewards whatsoever. No raisins, no grapes, no nothing. They were just given these things to play with, and the monkeys figured it out. And so the scientists said, wait a minute, that's a motivational thing. We didn't tell them. We didn't encourage them. Why? It was an intrinsic, i.e. a part of who they were. They just wanted to go figure it out. Well, that's what God has, that motivation is what God has put in you and me. He has put that in you and me, that desire, and the key point is that curiosity to go figure out the problem. And you may not figure out one. Do you think those monkeys actually figured out the first time? No. They kept at it and kept out until they figured it out. And guess what? As a troop, it wasn't just one that figured it out. All of them figured it out. And everybody shared that solution with it. So guess what? Every monkey went and figured it out. So that motivate, it was an internal motivation. God has put that internal motivation with you and me. You have been given talents that are intrinsic in you that few people with the combination that you have will do the same thing. You have talents, whether it's being in the medical field, it could be, and I saw this years ago, a TV program. This kid loved street cleaners, street sweepers. He had little street cleaner machines, you know, the matchbox things. He had them all lined up because he loved them. That's all he ever wanted to do in his life. But you know what? That's an important aspect of him. And that's what he does for a living. He drives a street sweeper and he loves it. But it's that point is we don't poo-poo that. If that's all he loves to do, but be the best at that, whatever that is. There's a if you go on TED.com, I love watching TED.com. Clarence, have you ever seen TED.com by any chance?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. For the most part, they got a lot of, 20-minute little speeches about things. But what's interesting about the drive is, when you talk about your drive and it's about you, is there's a guy, and I'm forgetting his name, but if you go Google at TED.com, Barefoot College, you'll see the story about this guy that literally left a high-level Indian caste system where he was probably going to be the next ambassador to the United States or something. You know, he was that good at the best colleges. He was on his way up to being somewhere heavy in Indian society. And he got tired and he got bored and he says, I'm not going to do this. So he went out into the rural area out in India. And of course, when you're in the rural area, the poor, they sort of look at you with suspicion. And they say, okay, why are you coming out here? Are you failing in your classes? No, I'm getting good grades. Police are coming after you. You did something wrong. No. He said, I just came out here to see what I can do and what I can learn and maybe help you out. Well, come to find out, and this is one example of it. These rural women had come up with a formula using urine and plants and everything else. All this, their formula was a way of waterproofing the house ceilings and the roofs. And of course, all the men wanted the formula, and the women, I'm not going to give you up my formula. And the women started a business based on waterproofing the roof of the mud huts. Now, do you need a college degree to figure that out? No. Now, a college degree would help in terms of analyzing the materials and what happened and how did it got there, but it didn't stop them from coming up with a way to do that. You don't need a college. You don't need the college education. You need the curiosity to go figure it out yourself. That's the point that God has given you. He's given you talents, and those talents create a curiosity on how to do something. And you're supposed to take that curiosity and go out and do it, just like the monkeys. There was no payment whatsoever for them going out and figuring out those tests and those experiments. They just did it because it was interesting to them. Now, here's the part about that. When you go out and learn something, you've increased the value of who you are. When you increase the value of who you are, guess what you've done to the marketplace? You've increased the value of what you offer to the market. If you increase the value to the market, what does that mean? You make more money. When you make more money as a Christian, that means you can give more. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to be poor. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to be rich. What it does say is take all your talents and maximize them all. Work them all so that you can provide good value and good jobs and good value to your customers or your business, whatever that is. So when it comes to drive, you've already been given that drive. You've already had that internal drive given to you by God. Understandably, those talents have been buried by others. Either you've had it buried, regret, remorse, rejection. But guess what? Because you have that drive doesn't mean you still can't do it. There are other things. I have a number of friends that had to take detours around what they love to do because of economics, because of other things. They basically had to take detours. They never lost sight of what they love to do. I even had to do, with my master's degree, I had to do a janitor job. I had three jobs at one time. Had to be a janitor with a master's degree. How do you think that made me feel? My approach was, I'm going to learn. And guess what? Here's the funny part. I lost weight earning money. I didn't pay any of the fitness places, any gym to go lose weight. I earned money losing weight. Now, it wasn't necessarily working with the weights, but slopping that bucket around and mopping floors and stuff, I lost weight doing that. But I also walked away with, I'm going to learn from this. It's not what I love to do, but I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to learn from what are they doing, how are they doing it, and it's not something I want to do, but I'm going to learn something from it. I learn what I don't want to do. I also learn what other people do. And if I have a building and I have to hire a janitor, guess what? I know what it takes to do that. I know how hard they can work. I mean, we literally had to scrub the tile floor of the school, scrub it, take off the wax, put the wax back on. I know what it takes to do that. So I have a lot more respect when I look at a janitor who has to do that, or a cleaning crew that has to do that. I have a lot more respect for those that do that. So when it comes to you, and it's about you, and it's your drive, it's what is inside you, and how do you apply that? Everybody has that built-in drive. It's just about who you are, the value you are, as well as how do we apply it in the marketplace. You're tuned into Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis. I'm here at the Christ the King World Radio, and you can find us at worldmediaministries.org, and we'll be right back.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720 720-275-1355. Again, please call us at 720-275-1355.
This portion of our broadcast day made possible by GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. That address again, www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world, Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Okay, you tuned in to Let's Talk Business and the Bible, and I'm your host, Chief Business Geek Kevin Cullis, here at the Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org. All right, we're talking today in this program, it's all about you, or it's about you, talking about who you are, the worth you are, the talent that God has given you, and what you need to do with it. And during the break, Clarence and I were talking about the talents and what you're supposed to do, so let's sort of continue that conversation. Clarence, we're talking about people who think that American Idol is supposed to be their place and where they need to be. Go ahead, take it away there.
Well, the question is, people that you've seen on American Idol, they go on there and these people are horrible, horrible, horrible mm-hmm. singers.
Mm-hmm.
And they really believe in their mind, someone has told them, something has made them believe that they are this great singer and that they deserve for America to hear their talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're deceived, obviously.
Right.
So can you tell me a little bit about how that takes place? How does that happen?
Well, normally what happens is, like I talk about the pen, some people are literally told they're worthless. And so they're going to try and find anything and everything to do to make them feel worthy or worth something. And part of why this show is about this specific show is about you is trying to show you that God has designed you a specific way. Because you are doing something and you're not at the great level that you would expect, like a Beyonce or who's the other? Celine Dion? What's her name?
Barry White,
exactly. They didn't start out experts, did they?
No. Luther Vandross got booed off stage at the Apollo something like 5 times before he actually made it.
But understand, they worked what? Their talents. They didn't not sit down and not use them. They just worked what they were good at. And that's the key point, is that the cynicism, even my father was a cynic. His approach to motivating me was, you'll never do that. And if I didn't do it, he'd say, see, I told you so. Or if I did do it, I'm pleasantly surprised that you were able to do that. So the cynics are basically telling you, you're not worthy of anything. You're not worth anything. And I'm sorry to say, but God doesn't create junk. He creates value in you, and you're supposed to use that. Now, the issue is, if you look at 100 being normal self-esteem and 0 being very low self-esteem, if you're told you're worthless, you're going to be 0. But what happens is, when you're at 0, you're going to try and overcome that mm-hmm. deficit mm-hmm. of feeling worthless by trying to do something more to try and raise your self-esteem. But here's the issue, is they focus on the feelings rather than the talent that you have. And nothing wrong with the feeling. Don't get me wrong. I've been there. I have friends that are there that are literally like that corn cob husk with nothing in there. It's just the husk itself. Mm. I've felt like that. That was a number of years ago. Felt nothing. I was just empty. I was just going through the motion. But the key point about that music person is that they want to feel better about themselves. But the issue is how. How do you feel better about yourself? Is finding out what you are good at. Those people on American Idol did not have the singing voice. Mm-hmm. And here's the point. Even if they got good at it, they weren't the best at it. And the stress that you go through just to become good at it, but if you're not good at it, it adds more stress to you. So when you sit there and don't do what you're good at and try and try and try, that makes you more frustrated. It makes you more lower self-esteem. Find out what you're good at and try multiple things. And don't try just one. Try it multiple times what you love to do. I didn't like being a janitor. Well, guess what? I did my best at it. It's not what I love to do. But I did it. I got paid to do it. But guess what? I moved on. So those people who are literally suffering, in my view, is low self-esteem, the issue primarily is saying, find out what you love to do, because when you love what you love, no matter what happens, you still love it. And I can guarantee, I don't care who you are, even when you love it, you're going to get knocked. You're going to hit. You're going to become obstacles and roadblocks. If you love what you do, you'll go through those things. If you dislike it, it takes you down and knocks you down even more and more. So the bottom line for that is find out what you love to do, that you're good at. There's a on TED.com, there's talking about this guy that was an NGO worker that literally was creating prosthetics for Afghans who had lost legs with IEDs and stuff. And he literally put together, and of course, he's an engineer type person coming up with these things. And this one guy had a prosthetic thing. He said, "Hey, I want to be production. I want to start making these things." And he goes, "But you've got a blown arm and you can't." He said, "Oh, I want to do it. I want to do it. I'll do it." And he turned around and says, "This is the most productive worker we ever had. It's not because he was disabled. He took what he had, what he can do, and he did it." That's the issue. It's not what you don't have. It's what you do have that makes the difference. And don't make something out of nothing. Don't create something that's not there, that's not in you. Find out what you're good at and go do that. I'm going to talk about the right to earn a living and the motivation to earn a living. The interesting thing is when the pilgrims came over here in the 1600s, 1620, 1621, they established a way of motivating people. And the motivation was, here's the land that we're going to create crops, that we're going to sit there and sell it, and they're going to sell it, and they're going to get their investment. We're going to get 50%. The tax rate was 50%. Whatever crops we grow, we're going to sell. We get 50% for ourselves. The investors who had invested in us, we're going to give 50% back. But that tax rate was 50%. But what they did was they created this one big plantation area and said, we're all going to work it. Guess what? Because everybody was working it, what do you think happened? Nobody worked it. That's why they all died, or most of them died, is because, hey, why should I work? It's not my plantation. It's not my effort. I'm going to sit there. It's not mine. And they feigned, I'm sick and I don't feel good and I got a baby doing. So out of whatever, how many people, there were hundreds of people in there, most of them sat home. They were lazy. That's your talent. That's not my talent. So this is what Bradford, who was the governor at the time, who came into being, he took the big plot of land. And he said, okay, here's where everybody's supposed to work. I'm going to divvy it up per family, decide the family. Okay, Clarence, you've got a family of four, you get 10 acres. So-and-so, you got a family of eight, you're going to get 20 acres. He parceled out the land. And here's his direct quote from his journal. And so assigned to every family a parcel of land according to the proportion of their number, and for that end, only for present use. We made no division for an inheritance. In other words, passing on that land. This had very good success, for it made all hands very industrious, And so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor or any other could use, and saved him a great deal of trouble and gave far better content. The woman now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would alleged weakness and inability to whom have compelled would have thought great tyranny and oppression. No, I can't go out there and work. It's work. It's half. What they did was they were given ownership of the land and said, this is your land. This is your parcel. You go do it as you please. When you give it, when you own something, you take care of it, do you not? When you own it, it's yours and you will take care of it. However good or bad, you take care of it. That's what intellectual property and property law, and that's what the government needs to do in America, is that the government needs to protect our property. It needs to protect it. And what you find in a lot of the political circles, you're going to see in the 1700s, Jefferson used the word corporations. The word corporations in that day and time were under the mercantilism approach to economics. The mercantile approach was the government decided who was going to be the business owner and who is not. The corporation was defined by who the government decided was going to be business. They handed out, and you see Robert Fuller, the steam engine, they gave him an exclusive contract. Nobody else could make a steam engine. He was given a monopoly on all steam travel. That means the government was deciding who was going to be the winner and who was not. Not competition. Now, there's two extremes. Having monopolies, which a book called The Right to Earn a Living by Timothy Sandefur talks about even Frederick Douglass, who literally escaped out of slavery in the South and went up to the North, and this white woman was out there, and she says, hey, boy, come here. I need you to help take my coal and bring it in the house. Helped her bring in the coal into the house from their big, bin, whatever it is, put it in the house, and she handed him some money. And he basically says, no man will ever take the money from me because I've earned it. And that's the idea, is when you have talent, our job is to go earn it. And the issue is to prevent other people, criminals, and the government taking what you earn. In fact, on the Jewish side of things, when you steal property, you're stealing a person's life. Why? Because you've put the time in to earn the money to buy the product. So when you're stealing product or stealing somebody's property, you're stealing their life. So when it comes to corporations, even though in the 1700s, corporations were monopolies back in that time frame, and the corporation, the definition of corporation that time, 1700s, is different than what it is today. So when you look at history, you have to look at not only the words, but also the definition. Today, we've talked about it's about you, your talent, but more importantly, what our Constitution says, an American Constitution. That Constitution says we're to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not a guarantee of happiness, it's the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is, what is your talent? What is it that you love to do? Find out that no matter what you need to do, find out what it is and go do that and be the best at whatever it is. You tuned into Let's Talk Business in the Bible, and I'm your host, Kevin Cullis, and the Chief Business Geek here at the Christ the King World Radio, and you'll find us at worldmediaministries.org.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.